Hey, Freedom Seekers, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, bringing you another fantastic guest today. Joining us is Austin Armstrong, who's the founder of Syllabi and the author of a new book called Virality, which is what we're going to talk about today, and also a repeat guest to the show. You guys might remember him from back when we were talking about passive income. This was way long time ago, was talking about how to make passive income on TikTok, which is where he got started, sort of. Your start was actually farther back. I didn't even know, and I'm excited to share that because reading a couple chapters in your book. By the way, I've got my copy, so all of you listening, I want you to go check it out because here's the cool thing you need to know about Austin and what we're talking about today is simply this. He went viral on TikTok. That's how he started, and then went viral everywhere else. So he's going to give you all the secrets. So welcome to the show, Austin. Thank you so much for being here. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Lindsay, thank you so much for having me back. How long ago was that first podcast?
I would say it's like 3 years ago, maybe even
3 years.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a journey it's been. I'm just honored, excited to be back and share all of the new stuff that I've been learning and applying, and it's been quite the journey.
Well, what's really cool from my perspective is watching it transpire right before my eyes. How, you know, you went from just primarily, I think, I don't even know how we met, to be honest with you, but it doesn't really matter. But at the time, you weren't really focused on any other platforms.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, and I just went viral here. And oh, I did this and I went viral there. And then the next thing you know, you're on stages internationally. You've written a book. You've just became the is it co-owner or co-founder of AI Marketing World Conference?
Both,
Both. Okay.
yeah.
So, I mean, just so cool whenever I can see another freedom seeker achieve that level. And speaking of, that's something you talked about in your book that I have to tell because it literally made me tear up. I'll be honest. I was a little sappy about this. You start out talking about MySpace, which I want to share, but you say today, 20 plus years later, the tools have changed. The stakes are higher. It's more competitive. But the mission is clearer than ever. I still carry that 14-year-old inside me. He wasn't just chasing followers, he was chasing freedom. And you got there. See, it makes me even sad right now. I mean, not sad, but like happy sad. So tell the story. Like, how did you get your start in social media?
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you for saying that. It means a lot that resonated with you. I got started on MySpace when I was 14 years old. So it's been about 21 years now, which is crazy to think about. And I don't even know what it was that attracted me to growing on there. I kind of write in the book a little bit because I was kind of trying to self-reflect on why did I start down this path? What was it that really attracted me to this? And I think it partially was that my parents went through a divorce and I was trying to seek some validation online. Online is where I really got it from, to be honest. And so I stumbled into that world and saw a lot of people that had larger followings that were supporting and growing one another's followings and sharing each other. And something about that was really interesting to me. And so I really just started by connecting with as many people as I could. Then I started, as I got more and more followers, I started to get invited into these AIM group chats. And that's where like really collaborative growth happened. And the crazy thing is that I'm doing a lot of the same stuff today, 21 years later, that we were doing back then, where in AIM group chats, we would share each other's posts to everybody's feed. And then vice versa, we would just grow together. And I was able to monetize that in a lot of different ways. I partnered with a friend in high school, and we developed an early software tool that helped other people grow their followings on MySpace. And I was able to get paid to do email lead generation and promote local bands and t-shirt companies. And when you're that young and you're getting all of this validation online, you have hundreds of thousands of people that are paying attention to you, and you're making more money than any of your friends. That really is an impactful place in your life where our prefrontal cortex isn't even fully developed yet. That stuck with me. And so I pretty much continued down that path ever since. There was a little bit of downtime, transparently, before I moved out to California, which is where my professional career started, because nobody told us that this was a path. Nobody said, keep going, Austin. You can continue to do this. I didn't have a mentor at the time that was like, yeah, you can make a lot of money on social media marketing. We didn't know any that we didn't know what we were doing. We stumbled upon all of this. But thankfully, when I moved to across country, about 11 or 12 years ago now, that's where my professional career in video marketing and social media really took off from there. I stumbled into an internship at a marketing agency that specialized in the behavioral health space, working with therapists, psychologists, addiction treatment centers, and different industries in that adjacent field. And I worked my way up from being an unpaid intern to a paid intern to a part-time employee to a full-time employee, just really hands-on work and shooting my shot and taking initiatives to grow in that space. And then that led to me starting my first company, Socialty Pro. My boss at that internship actually became my business partner. That last company had failed, but we wanted to do a more traditional agency model focusing on social media. And the thesis for that was to practice what I preach. And so that's where I really began to grow my personal brand on social media. It started with TikTok. For various reasons, I got banned from TikTok with a lot of following, and so that basically forced my hand to figure out how to create inbound lead generation from social media on every other platform. And I kind of have never looked back the last 6.5, 7 years since starting that and going all in on my personal brand has been the best decision that I ever made.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, it's interesting too because you that those formative years were so powerful. You really learned how to collaborate, how to connect, and it almost was natural for you in a lot of ways because you were craving that. Whereas I think a lot of people struggle because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to reach out. Well, people want to partner with me. It seems weird to ask, you know. And so I'm excited to read the rest of your book to see how you teach us to put all that together. But I think actually I have some key points here. The collaboration piece was a big one. I put that out here because I think that is an underutilized tool in so many ways. And I don't
Absolutely.
even just mean in social, but I mean in business, like,
Oh, yeah.
partnering with other companies and leveraging each other's audiences and just different ways to help each other grow. It's just when we, it's true what they say, when we help each other out, rising tides lift all boats. All boats will lift. There's
Yes.
plenty for everyone. One of my guests said it best. She's like, the sun shines for everyone. I'm like, that is a great visual, you know?
Yeah.
How do you, what would be a good takeaway for people listening to this to say specifically how to collaborate? I see you do that on your socials with people in your space. You guys kind of started a chain or follow these five people and so on, and then they did that with you. But what was it like to reach out to them?
Yeah, this is such an important piece. I'm glad you brought this up. To go more a little bit on the philosophical side first, there's a great African parable that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So just like all boats rise with the tide, you can accomplish more by collaborating, doing joint venture business opportunities, grow collaboratively on social media. I don't believe in competition. I prefer the term coopetition. You can cooperate together. And so when you're first creating some sort of collaboration opportunity, know that there might be some hesitance initially. The more value that you can bring to the table, the easier it is. It's easy for me to leverage any opportunity there because I have a large following. And anybody that I'm like, do you want to share each other's stuff? They're like, yeah, absolutely. Frankly, because I have more followers than them. But you don't have to go through that. You don't have to have more followers. Just think about some sort of mutual benefit or leverage that you can do there. And don't be afraid to pay to get in as well. I think that's often overlooked. Pay to get in front of the people that can open up doors and opportunities for you. For example, I've paid and invested in mastermind groups in order to get access to affiliate marketers that are going to drive business to my software company. As well as just collaboration between each other. And that wasn't an initial just cold DM. That was an investment that I made upfront to get access to quality people in order to have that collaboration be more fruitful for all of us combined. So think about the different things that you can bring to the table. See where other people are at. Don't go necessarily too high. Like, I'm not going to reach out to, Elon Musk and be like, let's collaborate. I'm nowhere near that level, right? Find someone or multiple people in your level, in your niche, and see how you can partner together on deals, or collaborative opportunities, whether it's just sharing each other's posts to grow on social media, or one thing that we did recently, there was a big affiliate marketing contest to promote a new company called OfferLab, which is like two-sided marketplace where you can add your products in there and you can stack products together. And they launched with the certification program. And what I did is I collaborated with multiple people and we created this big bonus bundle together where if you purchase the $495 OfferLab certification, you also get a year of syllabi, a year of this, a private group community, a course that I made, but then also things from those other collaborators and creators as well. And so we shared this big bundle that was like a no-brainer offer, and then everybody individually got their own commissions from that launch. And so
Brilliant. Yeah.
there's a lot of different ways, yeah, but that's
That's
how I would approach it.
what I'm talking about too, is just thinking bigger, you know. One of the things too that I noticed I did. So I obviously we've been friends on Facebook for a while and I saw what you were doing and I thought I'm gonna try that out. So I did this post yesterday because I'm in the podcasting space. So I shouted out to, you know, other podcasters who are not very well known but are life-changing. Like these are not huge names. And it was sort of with that same intent. And I thought it was if I tagged them, that would help me out, which it does sort of. Only if they have their profile public, though. Right. So what I missed is reaching out to them and saying, hey, do you want to do this for each other? Like that part, I hadn't read that part of the book yet. But, you know, I gave it a go. And it still worked out because it got a lot of engagement for me. But I think that's what's important here is to, you know, set up some expectations and have those. What might feel like uncomfortable conversations, but are so valuable. I agree 100%. I mean, I started something similar too back in the Pi Tribe days when I was doing the Passive Income Examiner because I had like my Pi circle of trust, and I was this is what I'm trying to tell the audience here, is I was not quite doing it fully because I was the only one giving. I was the one sharing all the information. It never dawned on me to ask for any reciprocation. So that's the big takeaway here is, be willing to build kind of a, and it doesn't have to be super like, when you say the word joint venture, everybody wants to run away because it sounds so like legal. It's not. It's just like partner up on something, collaborate. That's what that
Absolutely.
is. Simple. Don't overcomplicate
Absolutely.
it. Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh,
Another big
yeah.
takeaway I found here, and this, I literally just read this right before we jumped on, and it is so true. And I specifically love the way it's worded because you hear this a lot in other ways, but this way it's worded is so powerful. Obsession breeds transformation. How many times have we set out a goal, an idea? Oh, I'm gonna post, I'm gonna do a challenge. I'm gonna do a 30-day challenge. And we do it for 30 days and then we kind of give up on it. It nothing has transpired because we didn't have that obsession. Who talks about this in the Think and Grow Rich book? It's that burning desire, that's really what you're saying. But you're specifically talking about the days when you were fighting and you had an obsession to win and you were going to do whatever it took, and that's why you got the win. Share with us, like, how does that translate to you today? Do you ever find yourself sort of being cavalier maybe about a goal? And then how do you notice when, or how do you hack your brain, so to speak, as an entrepreneur to turn it into an obsession, like light that fire within yourself?
That's a great question. I think part of it is that I'm ADHD and I will have hyperfixation moments over long periods of time on certain things, certain goals, certain tasks. There are also little behaviors that I've developed, like being your own best cheerleader. You can't, as much as you want, solely rely on external validation for anything that you do, because everybody's got their own thing going on, right? And so you need to be that person that celebrates every win when nobody else is looking besides you and your mom online. And you have to be like, wow, this post reached 10 times more people than any of my other posts. Heck yeah. If you can find some little groups to like brag a little bit and then everyone's like, yeah, go, go, go. That's great too. But be the internal person that cheers yourself on. The other thing that I do is just kind of rapid fire fail. I will just brute force attack something until I figure out what works on that. A quick example, YouTube Shorts. In order for me to like really crack the code on going viral on YouTube, quick story on this. So after I had gotten fired on, or not fired, banned, deleted on TikTok, YouTube was really the big player in that space because TikTok had also gotten banned from India, and so YouTube Shorts rolled out pretty quickly. And now I had uploaded about 500 different YouTube Shorts to my channel, and none of them really went viral. Maybe a couple thousand views here or there. My channel got to about 5,000 subscribers, and so I contacted my good friend Jeremy Vest, YouTube expert strategist for some of the big brands, and we're like, we're gonna figure this out together. And so we both became utterly obsessed, and I had that accountability partner. And so every day we would jump on a Zoom call together for 30 to 60 minutes, and we would meticulously study YouTube Shorts from a title perspective. How long is the title? How broad is the title? How specific is the title? What is the opening hook? Does it loop? We studied everything that we can. How long are the individual shots? We'd review each other's videos. Maybe you could tweak this. Maybe you could tweak that. We posted 3 to 5 shorts every single day, testing theories. And that process is what it clicked for me. And so I discovered through that, rather than just dumping everything, I'm only going to post the most viral videos that were working on TikTok at the time, which were a series of these five websites feel illegal to know, a very broad top of funnel content strategy. And when I doubled down and went all in on that, that's when the magic happened and the clarity. And my channel went from 5,000 subscribers to 100,000 subscribers in 3 days. I got my
Oh, wow.
YouTube plaque in the mail. I now have about 640,000 YouTube subscribers. And it's just like that mentality and like blunt brute force attacking something, testing theories, failing, but learning along the way until you notice a trend and then doubling down on going all in on that trend.
It's interesting because basically what I'm hearing you say is when you are obsessive about something, you can collapse time. Because, I mean, if somebody isn't obsessive about it, let's say they're just posting for the sake of posting because somebody says, and I've literally had people on this podcast who are YouTube strategists say, just start posting and one day the magic YouTube fairy will come and you will go viral and then it's all on from there. And so people hear that and they're like, oh, I just need to post every day. I'm just going to be super consistent for 10 years and see what happens. And it's like, there's other people who are like, no way, there's got to be a way to hack this somewhat. And that's super. What I love about what you said is how you just full energy, full energetic capacity on this one thing. And if you're truly intentional about it. Now, the only thing I would add to that I already know you incorporate this, but we just haven't talked about it, is just make sure that your obsession is getting you closer to your North Star. We talk about that on the podcast because, right, we're here to build a business that is sustainable and something we love and not just something for the sake of doing it, right? So, I mean, going
Absolutely.
viral on YouTube is great, and we all want the plaque, but at the end of the day, don't we want something that we can still be doing 5 years from now and sort of still be happy doing it?
100%.
So just add that little piece in there. But no, that is really powerful. And how do you manage your capacity across multiple channels? Because it sounds like really creating content for the sake of creating content. I mean, I know you initially went viral in a lot of places by repurpose.io, pushing out stuff in mass everywhere. But you also were saying that when you create content specifically for the platform, the way the algorithm is designed there, you're going to go better, faster. So how do you control your capacity at this point? Like, do you just pick a couple places to focus your energy on and the rest are secondary or what?
That's exactly it. So I will be I'll keep a toe dipped in the water everywhere. And based on where I see the most engagement and most ROI and most traction, that's where I divert my most of my attention to. So the last 2 years, frankly, it's been Facebook. It's where I've seen the most organic growth, the most money that they're paying creators, the most connections, from real world connections, opportunities for podcasts, for brand deals, for speaking engagements. All kinds of different opportunities. It's Facebook. And so that's where I'm posting like 20 to 25 times a day right now, which sounds crazy. I can break that down. It's not as difficult as you think it might be. But I'll post one video a day, maybe two videos a day, on every other platform as well. It's just one unique piece of content that I repurpose, across every platform. I do manually upload everything. I'm not really using any schedulers. I do use my own software tool Syllabi to schedule some things though for some other channels that I manage. But I put this in the it's kind of a thesis in the book a little bit, but all I want to do is create content. And so I've built businesses that allow me to create content. And my whole thing is don't be a content creator, be a business owner who creates content so that you can have that lasting impact, like you said, of something that you're proud of and that you want to continue to do. But all I love, I love content creation. It's easy for me. And that's kind of how I manage my capacity and time, but it's a
Yeah,
lot of
no,
fun.
I think that's a question. If I could go around like that guy on YouTube that talks to like billionaires and interviews them on the spot, which is crazy. I can't believe he gets their attention. That's awesome. I would go around asking people like, as an entrepreneur, how did you manage your capacity? Because I think that's the thing that really people need to figure out because it's not sustainable if you don't manage that. But obsession is important. So going back to that, because that is truly when you obsess on something, it changes your, it's your determination. And that to me is like the spark that you need to get anything done in life. Anything. It could be like me moving to a log cabin in the woods. It was when I read that, I thought, man, that is true. That's I obsessed over moving to Idaho. It was like my obsession. So it kind of got me wondering, like, what am I obsessing about right now? Like, what can I be obsessing about that I maybe am not giving myself permission? Because I think, well, like, for example, being a content creator, frankly speaking, and just being totally transparent, I love podcasting. I would do this if I didn't get paid. I would still do it because I love it so much. But I could make this my obsession. I could build my whole business, and I am, obviously I do. But I was like, could I do it even more? Like, you just challenged me to think, like, could I obsess on this? Could I even go deeper into figuring out how to monetize it on a different level? And maybe there's something I haven't seen yet that I don't know about because I haven't obsessed on it long enough, you know? So it was really a good challenge question. So I'm grateful you put that in there.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
absolutely.
you know, and the other thing too, you were just talking about the playful testing. I love how you were like, you didn't quite use the word playful. I put that in there because you said it was fun. You said, you know, you were experimenting, you guys were just having kind of fun, just experimenting and seeing what worked, right? To me, that has been a game changer for me. You mentioned, I didn't know about the 20 to 25 posts a day until just recently. I heard you on I forgot the gentleman's name. That's that podcaster. He teaches people how to podcast.
Oh,
But anyway, yeah,
Cliff Ravenclaw?
Cliff, it was Cliff. Yep. And
Ravenscraft.
I that's when I heard you say you were doing the 20 to 25 a day, and I thought, oh my goodness. But you had posted, you know, if you're not posting 5 times a day on Facebook right now, you may as well basically not post. And I thought, heck, I'd be happy if I could post 5 times a week, you know. And then I thought, what if I could do 3 times a day and just lower the bar, give myself some. Well, I'll tell you, it actually turned into being 5 to 7 a day. It really wasn't that hard. But it was hard for me. I'm a little different in that I didn't know what to post. I didn't know what to talk about. I wasn't a naturally like, let me just be social to the world and feel it. Just, it can feel vulnerable. I actually ended up making a mini course on like building a personal brand and helping people come up with like personal
Love it.
content to help them because it's what helped me back to the experimenting. So I've been doing that for like 3 weeks. Just for the sake of doing it. I'm not being specific. I'm not trying to be salesy. I have no strategy to what I'm posting, to be really candid. I'm just setting the intention to post. And I'm noticing people are seeing content from like that I posted last week or the week before. And it's blowing my mind because I always thought Facebook was kind of like a ticker. Like it went in and then it goes down and then you don't see it again. And it's not that way anymore. So it's interesting. So tell us, how do you post the 20 to 25 a day? How are you getting that handled?
Well, real quick, how have your results been, out of curiosity?
Okay, so I haven't been able to go in and look at my analytics. I need to do that. That's been on my mind, and I'm going to make a post about it when I do. But I can tell you this, I've gotten friend requests that I never had, that people were not reaching out to me. This was like, you know, different. And now I'm always like, are they seeing my post or did they hear me on my podcast? I never know, but oh well, you know. I wasn't getting them before, so it's got to be Facebook. The other piece of it is I'm seeing the engagement in, like I said, in the older posts, which actually is inspiring to me. I think one of the hardest parts is how people put on, one of my friends even said this. He's like, sometimes I feel like I'm talking to the wind because I was the only person who commented on his thing, and he'll get like 3 or 4 hearts. Okay. And I think if we are posting for the engagement and we're looking for that validation, it's depressing and you don't want to do it. And that's why I went back to this playful testing. Because if you go into it with the mindset of, I'm just being curious, I just want to see what happens. I don't care if nobody likes my stuff, then I'll know, you know, it changes the game and it helps you just do it. Because you just got to get over that hurdle of like needing the likes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
think
I
that's been
love
the
that.
biggest thing.
And can yeah, keep at it. You know, you're crushing it. You're doing great. So how do I maintain 20 to 25 posts a day? Here's typically the workflow that I go through. The first thing that I do when I log on Facebook every day is I go to my memories and I see what posts are still evergreen, relevant, not outdated or anything. And oftentimes there's 2 to 3 posts that are still relevant, still interesting, still helpful in my niche. And I will just download and repost that. And so that immediately gives me a couple posts that I can repost. The other thing is we all have to get out of our way. A big thing and fallacy and issue that I see a lot of creators think is that every single piece of content that they need to create needs to be net new. And that will drive you crazy. All information is repeated. People are just looking for a voice that they resonate with. And the only person that has seen every single thing that you post is you. People aren't online constantly looking at every single thing. And sometimes there might have been a post that was so well received, they kind of forgot about it. They've been looking for it. And then, you post it again. So I will go back and look at what were some posts that performed really well a couple weeks ago, 2, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago. I will search for my name in the search box on Facebook, post and then filter by posts from you, and it will show you all of these just posts that performed pretty decent. And then if it's still relevant information, it's not like a breaking news thing in that moment that then dies. If it's still like general helpful AI information in my niche, I'll just repost it again. And I do that several times a day. And then we mentioned the collaboration pod. So I've organized a group called the Goon Squad, the AI Goon Squad, we call each other. We've actually gotten together in person several times. We go to a lot of conferences. We tackle a lot of affiliate competitions together. We were all just out in Vegas for Alex Hormozi Private Affiliate Day because a lot of us made the leaderboard on that because we help each other out.
That's cool.
But every, yeah, it was an awesome experience. But every day I will share my post in there and I'll get 12 shares, and then vice versa, 12 people share their posts in there. We're all in the same niche. And so I will share all of those posts. So I consider that. So that's about 10 right there. And then I'll create some new content, maybe 1 or 2 videos per day. I used to use ChatGPT tasks, but I created my own, I vibe coded my own software tool called Threadmaster. And what Threadmaster does is it writes these text threads for me, which is a very viral format of content where it's like black background with white text, headline, clickbaity, and then with a down pointing emoji. And then in the comments is each individual component of that thread. And so in Threadmaster, all I need to do is type in a topic, like productivity tips, ChatGPT prompts, whatever. It works in every niche, but it'll give me that text thread. And then I can just copy and paste. And so those are some of the ways, I'll pay attention to news. I'll go to Google Trends and see if something's trending in the day. You can also train your feed too. So engage with other people in your niche, and then Facebook and or whatever platform of your choice is, it will show you more of what you engage with. So you can actually train your feed to be a source of content for you. And you can take someone else's post that performed really well and either remix it, make it your own, or share their post or repost it and tag them as the original poster, but sharing their information. Don't just steal content, not what I'm saying. Share it, but tag them, make sure that you share that they are the original poster. And the more that you do this, the bigger the habit that you build, the more dialed in you are, you get into a headspace of borderline addiction, if we're going to call it what it is, but mental clarity of everything is potentially content. So I'll be watching a movie, someone will say a line, and I'll be like, oh, that's something I should post on Facebook. I think it'll resonate with my audience. Or I hear something while in a restaurant grabbing lunch or something. I'm like, ooh, that's content. Or I'll see some graffiti on a wall that's motivating and I'll take a picture of it. Ooh, that's content. Or I'll be at Web Summit. I just went to Web Summit in Portugal. And I saw Manus.im, which is an AI agent, and they had a piece of paper stickered to their desk that said, "Get 2,000 free Manus credits by scan this QR code." I took a picture of their booth and that reached 500,000 people on
That's cool.
Facebook
I saw
on
that
my
post.
post. So I'm just like, you get dialed in, but everything can be potential content for your niche. Just start wherever you're at and continue to compound.
How do you deal with, okay, this happens to me in the morning. I wake up sometimes, and the mornings are my best, and I'll have like a brain burst of ideas, like 20 ideas. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, okay, let me get my coffee. And then I get down to my desk and I'm like, wait, what was it again? I forgot. Do you keep like a notes app, or do you just go in and pre-schedule everything?
No, I do keep notes app. I keep notes, or I'll talk to ChatGPT. I have my personal ChatGPT assistant. Her name is Dahlia. I'll just pull up Dahlia and talk to her and share some thoughts and be like, remind me of this later. But yeah, keep notes or Evernote are two note-taking apps on my phone that I use.
Very cool. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about was monetizing. So, I mean, Facebook, somebody came to me the other day and she was working with a social media coach, and specifically in rowing. Cool lady. She's over 60 and she's like third place in the world in a rowing competition, right? And so she was like, I want to figure out how to do rowing as my subject on social media and build it. And I said, what's your purpose? Like, are you trying to make this a money income thing? She goes, yeah. So I was like, well, why aren't you doing this on YouTube? Like, why are you so focused on social media? Anyway, that was a separate conversation. But I'm just curious, like, is there something I don't know? Like, maybe I was wrong to say that. Is there a better opportunity in social media world for monetization?
I think you can monetize wherever there's a collection of people, there's an audience and interest in that subject matter. So just if you're already creating content for YouTube, whether it's long form or short form or a combination of both, I'm so bullish on Facebook still. I think there's a huge opportunity. You can just post them both on there as well. You can create different images or text posts on the best rowing tips or interesting facts about rowing, educational content that she's an expert in, how to become a better rower, workout routines for rowing, mindset tips and tactics for rowing. Go all in and create different formats of content consistently across the board. And then there's a million different ways that she, did I hear you say
Yeah,
she or
yes.
she? That she can potentially monetize. One is, and I never recommend relying on this, ad revenue, just let it be the icing on the cake. There's so many better, that's why I always say, like, don't be a content creator, be a business owner who creates content. Build that backend system that the content just like points traffic to whatever that you want to sell. But you can monetize through ad revenue. Brand deals could be a big thing for her. She could, wear Red Bull gear, or Bang Energy was sponsoring people for a long period of time, or she can wear fun hats, whatever, make it a thing and get brand deals, so that every time that she's rowing, she takes a sip of Bang Energy drink or whatever, that it's visual there. But she could sell video courses on how to become a better rower. She could create paid ebooks to do that. She could vibe code a software app, a mobile app on your phone that she charges $5 a month for, that helps you stay more consistent with rowing. How many days consistently did you row, with rowing education in there? Like, you can create your own apps now and charge a subscription fee. She could do one-on-one coaching. If she's an outspoken person, she could build up a big enough brand online to start to get some paid speaking engagement deals, where she can talk about motivational tactics, about how her being one of the top rowers in the world can apply to your business. Like, you just have to be creative. There's an unlimited stream, like different ways that you can make money from your passions, from your hobbies, from anything that you're interested in, because you're not alone.
It's true. It's true. And I love that she has just the one pillar of content. Like, the topic is just rowing. I think that's the best part of the whole thing. Very cool. Yeah, I was, oh, there was something I was gonna say. Oh, yesterday I did an experiment. So back, going back to like coming up with content ideas, how do you feel about this? I'm just curious because this was my thought. So on my podcast, I produce a podcast a day, and
Nice.
three of them are usually just me, and then I have two guests. And I'll find like that whole podcast will be a pillar of content. What I did yesterday, I was talking about list building, going back to our point of being a business owner and your whole perspective of like the platform isn't yours, build a list. It was basically what I was talking about in a different kind of way. But I did this. I created a reel, just a quick reel talking about it, just one tip on the reel. I did a text thread type of post. And then I did just a static post that was like, you know, saying that this is the number one thing in your business you got to be focusing on. And then I did a couple things up in stories. But the whole day was on this one thing. It made it easy for me because I didn't have to really reinvent the wheel. It wasn't like coming up with something new every 10 seconds. The topic was clear to me. I could totally see myself easily following that train, but I was like, do people get burned out? Is that bad, like doing that?
No, I think that's a fantastic way. I mean, from a user perspective, like a viewer perspective of content, like I don't necessarily see every format of content. I might be more interested in stories. I might be more interested in the text threads. I might be more interested in the short video. Just meet people where they're at. This is kind of like a Gary Vee quote a little bit, but just reduce the friction. Create as many doors to enter into your podcast or whatever it is that you want to drive people to as possible, because people learn different ways. Some people learn better from reading. Some people learn better from audio. Some people learn better from watching a video. If you're creating consistent content for all of these learning types and just meeting people where they're at, and you're doing that consistently, they won't burn out. Now you might burn out. Creator burnout is a real thing, so you have to check in on yourself and make sure that you like creating all of that content and sticking with it. Because when I say create 25 pieces of content, that I fully understand that's not going to work for everybody. It works for me, but I know what burnout feels like, and a lot creator burnout is a very real thing. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. If you want to get into full-time content creation and use it as a source to develop multiple streams of income or grow your business to whatever goals that you have in mind, you have to pay attention to those little things. Take breaks whenever you can. Set systems in place so that it's sustainable for you and that you don't burn out.
Yeah, for sure. Do you I totally just lost my train of thought. Just went right out.
That's
Just like this
okay.
fly. Have you seen this fly? Speaking of flies, he keeps flying in front of my face. I'm like, well, he wants some attention today.
That's how my mind goes. It's just like from one thing to
Sometimes. Okay, I
the
wanted to get into your
next.
book and share a little bit about tell us, you know, what is the tell the audience like what is the big purpose of the book, like what can they get out of it? Why do they want to read it?
Love this. Nope.
There it
Now, the book's called Virality. It is a two-part book. The first part is motivational, somewhat autobiographical. So it's a collection of stories from my 21 years in marketing and the lessons that I've learned from it. So going back to MySpace and how we collaborated with one another to the biggest failure I've ever had in business and the lessons that I took away from that, to betting on myself and investing in attending a conference at the back of the room, but applying what I learned and now becoming owner of that conference and seeing the big picture. And no matter where you're at in your journey and business and whatever your passion is, to motivate you that you don't have to accomplish all of this in a short period of time. I'm not that smart of a guy. I'm just very consistent and stubborn, and I've just done pretty much one thing for most of my life, and I just have more at bats than most people. And so no matter whatever your passion is, just stay being motivated and staying consistent. That's the first part of the book. And then the second part of the book is very tactical strategy workbook driven. So how to go viral and stack the odds on in your favor on every social media platform. opening hooks, frameworks that you can follow, psychological tricks to increase engagement based on human psychology, posting frequencies, examples of scripts. Every section in the book has, at the end of the chapter, what were your big takeaways? What are the three things that you are going to take action on? And then what's the time frame that you're going to give yourself in order to accomplish that thing, to give you clarity, and a time frame so that you can hold yourself accountable. So yeah, part motivation, part exactly what to do. You don't really have an excuse if you read through the book. I'm very blunt in there as well. I don't want to hear your excuses. I give you everything that I've ever learned and have applied. Millions of dollars earned, millions of followers, billions of views, many, many different industries that I've worked in, and applied these practices across the board. This book will help you grow and develop multiple streams of income online, but you still have to do the work.
Amen. A true, yeah, that's true. And I'm just saying, I just want to say thank you because
Thank you.
first of all, for coming on the podcast and for having this conversation, but for even doing that. And I get it, like you were deep into your agency and you kind of got the agency burnout, which I totally get. I
Yeah,
had a similar
totally.
experience. And so you're just, and it's beautiful, and I'm grateful to God that He's blessed you to this point where you're in a position in your life that you can give, this much. But I also want to say thank you for taking the opportunity to step into those shoes because you truly are going to make a difference in so many people's worlds. It's awesome. Like it really is
Thank
cool.
you. Thank you, Lindsay. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. The last, I remembered my fly question, so I'm going to ask
Ah,
this and then we can wrap up. And that was
no
this
worries.
on Facebook. Is it better to build your brand with your personal profile or a page like a business profile? This is something people ask me a lot, and I've been telling them do personal, but I'm like, is that still true? Is that even right? I don't know. It just makes me wonder.
Either can work. It depends on your capacity, or your interests. So, in my case, I sacrificed my friends and family for reach for the Zuckerberg algorithm gods. So about 3 years ago, Facebook rolled out the ability to switch your personal profile to professional mode. And with that, you get all of the benefits of a page: analytics, the ability to monetize, the ability to boost, all kinds of everything that a page has, you can do with a profile through professional mode. The reason I did that, though, was based on thorough A/B testing of the same content on a page and my personal profile. And I just got way more engagement and reach on my profile than the page. And so I went all in on that. I've been doing this for so long, I'm okay with the fact that I'm occasionally going to annoy a family member or a friend from a past life that doesn't agree with me or doesn't want to see my 20 posts a day. But the vast majority of people support me. They're like, Austin, you're chasing your goals. Do your thing, man. I'll just ignore a post that I don't want to see. I'll engage when I can. Most understanding people, I think, are okay with it. But that is the downside of using a profile, is that, yeah, you're still connected to your friends and family and potential colleagues. And if you don't want them to see your content, then a page is the route that you should go. I don't necessarily think there's a better, like, one or the other, except anecdotally, I've seen personal profiles get more reach recently.
Yeah, I've always seen that, except for like one little blip in time where pages suddenly
Yeah.
algorithm was happy to see pages and then that kind of stopped again.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's too sketchy. I mean, with it's been more consistent with personal profiles, at least from my perspective.
I
Very
think
cool.
so.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Where
you.
can people buy the book?
Anywhere, so right now it's available on Amazon. You can type in virality with an exclamation point and Austin Armstrong, and you'll see it in there. December 1st, it comes out wide release, and so you'll be able to find it basically anywhere that you purchase books online. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it'll be in bookstores as well, but you can definitely find it on Amazon.
It'll be in bookstores. It's a freaking awesome book. I mean, I've
Thank
only
you.
read like two chapters, And I'm hooked. I mean, it's
Thank
definitely
you.
like, okay, can't wait till it comes out. I've already bought my pre-order, which, by the way, for let's see, this actually will air after December, so
Okay.
they're gonna have to buy the full copy.
It's worth it. It'll be
It is
worth it, I
worth it. It
promise.
is worth it. So I'm excited for you. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.